Dr. William Luther Pierce on The Nature of Patriotism, 1997.
Hello. I've been reading about Aldrich Ames, an employee in our Central Intelligence Agency who was caught spying against the United States. There have been several other Americans caught recently who were spying for foreign governments, including one who was an FBI agent. But Ames was the most important in terms of the amount of damage he did. A book about Ames, who was arrested 3 years ago, has been published recently. Its author is Pete Early, and it's titled Confessions of a Spy. The most interesting thing to me in the book was Ames's explanation of why he decided to sell American secrets to the KGB. The essential point is that he never really thought of himself as a traitor. He needed money. He didn't think the CIA was paying him enough. And he was essentially an alienated person who felt no sense of loyalty to anything. Now, there are a great many other people in this country who are just as alienated, just as self-oriented and rootless as Aldrich Ames. Most of them, of course, aren't in a position like Ames was, where they can do a great deal of damage. They don't have the opportunity that he had. And even among those who do have the opportunity, most aren't enterprising enough or bold enough to take the risks involved. And that is the main reason there aren't more spies being caught. There is a certain element of risk involved. It used to be, 50 or 60 years ago, that people didn't spy against their country because of a sense of loyalty. They felt themselves a part of the United States, and they would no more betray their country than they would betray a family member. During and shortly after the Second World War, for example, most of the American citizens caught spying against this country were Jews who were selling information to the Soviet Union. Part of the reason was because there was much more sympathy for communism among Jews than among non-Jews. But part of the reason also was that Jews, as a group apart, felt no real sense of loyalty to America. Their loyalty was to other Jews and to Jewish interests, but not to the country in which they merely happened to be living at the moment. Nowadays, though, Gentile Americans are nearly as lacking in loyalty to America, nearly as lacking in patriotism as Jews are. People still feel a sense of loyalty to their friends and their families, but not much else. Why is this? What has changed in America during the past 50 years to erode the sense of patriotism so much? If you think about it for a minute, you'll know the answer. The average white person can no longer look on America as his family. He no longer feels a part of it. It's just the place where he happened to have been born and happens to be living. He no longer feels a sense of kinship with all other Americans. The reason he doesn't is primarily the result of the enormous increase in what liberals and the media fondly call diversity. That is the great increase in the number of people with whom we feel nothing in common. People with different roots, people who look different, who think differently, who behave differently, and who have different values. People whom we cannot even imagine being part of our family. When we look around us at America and see a great many people like that, when we see all of this diversity, then we no longer feel ourselves a part of America. We no longer feel a sense of loyalty to America. We no longer feel like traitors if we do something to hurt America. Now, to be sure, not everyone is as alienated yet as Aldrich Ames, but we're getting there. And diversity isn't the only thing which is eroding our sense of patriotism. The liberals and the media are working hard at it. The Vietnam War took us a giant step away from patriotism. Some of you may not remember, but 25 years ago, there were giant demonstrations in Washington on behalf of the Viet Cong and the communists, who were killing American soldiers at the rate of 100 a day. Left-wing groups with Jewish leaders organized these demonstrations, and they bussed in college students from all over the country, hundreds of thousands of them, for these demonstrations. Most of the kids weren't communists or even communist sympathizers. They were just following the people on their campuses who were the loudest and pushiest and going along for the excitement and because it was the trendy thing to do. Some Jew would hand one of them a Viet Cong flag and he would carry it because everyone else was. It was very trendy, very fashionable to be anti-American. And the worst thing about all this uproar during the Vietnam War is that the government did nothing to stop it. The government was sending young men over to Vietnam to be killed by the Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese, and at the same time was permitting Viet Cong sympathizers to organize huge demonstrations in Washington and even providing police protection for them. The politicians were afraid to do anything because the Jew-controlled media all sympathized with the demonstrators, and the politicians were afraid of the Jews. The net effect of this was a huge loss of respect for the government on the part of nearly everyone. The kids found that they could burn their draft cards and thumb their noses at the government and get away with it. And so they lost their respect for the government. The Vietnam vets came home and were treated like pariahs and felt unappreciated, even by the government which had sent them to Vietnam. And so they lost their respect for the government. And I and many other patriots watched all of this in disgust, and we lost our respect for the government. Back during the war, I used to organize anti-communist demonstrations to counter the big pro-Viet Cong demonstrations the Jews were organizing. And I used to give speeches against the politicians who were collaborating most openly with the Jews. I said in my speeches that these politicians were guilty of treason and ought to be dealt with summarily. They ought to be shot. And because of this, the government sicked the FBI on me. Not on them, but on me. I and many others developed a very negative feeling for the government during that time. Well, as I said, that was 25 years ago. But everyone who went through that experience was changed by it. Much of the contempt for the government remains with them. And the kids who learned that it was fashionable to be anti-American kept some of that attitude even after they graduated from their colleges. Of course, loss of respect for the government and loss of patriotism are two different things, but they both have been happening at the same time. It is interesting that today the media are trying to coax people into respecting the government again, while their assault on patriotism continues unabated. We have so many new laws and new governmental programs that are to the liking of the Jews in the media. And the politicians are so much more corrupt than they were 25 years ago that the media now view the government more as an ally than as a rival. But the Jews in the media still hate and fear patriotism as much as ever. They've tried to make patriotism a dirty word, and they have succeeded pretty well among the trendy yuppies and the urban rabble over whom they have the strongest influence. They hold up the militia groups as the epitome of patriotism, and they try to frighten the lemmings with the specter of the angry, rural, white male with a gun and an American flag who is threatening the government which provides their welfare checks. It may be that the people in the militias are not very sophisticated and don't have very good public relations programs, but most of them still do have a little sense of patriotism. More patriotism, at least, than the folks who take their cue from the controlled media. The reason the media and the big Jewish pressure groups like Morris Deese's Southern Poverty Law Center and the B'nai B'rith and the Simon Wiesenthal Center hate the militias and their old-fashioned patriotism so much is that they stand in the way of the New World Order. The Jews and their fellow travelers want the American people to transfer their loyalty from America as it used to be, that is, from the white America built by our ancestors when they came over here from Europe, the America we could think of as our extended family, and give that loyalty instead to their New World Order. Of course, they understand the idea of loyalty based on blood, on kinship, on common roots. That's the kind of loyalty they have to each other and to Israel. But they don't want us to have that. They know how powerful it is. They hate the idea of us being united by such a sense of patriotism. They hate it and fear it. And that's why they've been working so hard to undermine old-fashioned American patriotism and replace it by allegiance to a faceless, raceless, rootless, cosmopolitan New World Order, under their control, of course. And they're succeeding at least halfway. They are destroying patriotism in a substantial portion of the American public, which is why we're seeing more people like Aldrich Ames in the news these days. They are not really succeeding, however, in building much allegiance to the New World Order. Of course, they've made it a fashionable idea among the liberals and the mindless trendies, and all of the politicians are giving lip service to it. But ultimately, they cannot succeed in establishing loyalty to the New World Order in the place of old-fashioned, race-based patriotism, because no matter how fashionable they make their idea of a New World Order among the liberals and the politicians, it is an unnatural idea. Liberals may gush about equality and the brotherhood of man and the human race being the only race to which they feel loyalty. But that is empty sophistry. Fools may let themselves be convinced that they have become raceless cosmopolitan patriots, patriots of the New World Order. But one will find very few of them who are willing to die or even make any major sacrifice for this new pseudo-patriotism. Real patriotism is not some artificial idea dreamed up by Jews. It is something based in our genes, an instinct, an extension of the instinct for self-preservation to include our kin, our nation. One can undermine that patriotism by muddying and confusing the concept of nation, the image of nation, as has been done during the past half century by promoting diversity. When the enemies of our people, with the collaboration of the treasonous politicians in Washington, politicians of the sort I publicly urged should be shot during the Vietnam War, When these enemies infiltrate tens of millions of non-white immigrants into our country and stifle any effort to halt the flood, when they subsidize the breeding of a non-white underclass in our cities with our own tax money, when they force us to accept these growing non-white masses into our schools and neighborhoods and workplaces, when they saturate all of the news and entertainment media with the alien faces and alien tones and the alien antics of these non-whites, and gloatingly tell us that we had better get used to the idea of becoming a minority in our own land within the next 50 years, then, of course, the patriotism which came naturally to our people in the past becomes meaningless. And we hear people like Aldrich Ames telling us that he sold national security information to the KGB because he needed money, and he didn't think he was doing anything worse than the politicians in Washington do every day. And I guess it's hard to argue with him about that. The process of social atomization, of deracination, of separating people from their roots and cutting the bonds to their natural communities so that they can become interchangeable units, human atoms, for building the new world order, is being promoted ruthlessly by the Jews and their collaborators. And the rising incidence of treason is only one of the smaller and less important consequences of this genocidal process. I say that this process is genocidal because it certainly will destroy us as a people, as a race, as well as destroying us as a nation. People with no sense of patriotism are people unable to defend themselves collectively, people who will be victimized by any group which still has a group feeling. One of the factors which has made it possible for the Jews and their collaborators to undermine our patriotism is that we took it too much for granted in the past. Most of our people didn't really think about it, analyze it, and understand its true basis. We let our idea of patriotism gradually drift from a racial idea to a geographical idea, a political idea. When our ancestors in Europe were defending their people against Huns or Moors or Mongols or Turks, they understood patriotism. Even after the rise of all of Europe's national states, when patriotism began expressing itself as nationalism, it still had a racial, or at least an ethnic, basis. The words themselves tell us what their original meanings were. Patriotism, of course, comes from the Roman word for father. Patriotism is the love of the fatherland, love of the land inhabited by all of the people descended from a common father. Nationalism also comes to us from the Romans, from the Latin word for birth. A nation is a group of people related by birth, by blood, and nationalism is love for that people, loyalty to that people. And these feelings of patriotism or nationalism are very powerful feelings because they are natural feelings. They contributed to our survival over a very long period of evolution. But when we forget the racial meaning of patriotism and think of it only in geographical or political terms, as loyalty to every person of whatever race, color, or creed who happens to be living within a specified geographical area at the moment, then patriotism is no longer a natural feeling, but instead becomes artificial and consequently much easier to subvert. And that is what has happened to people like Aldrich Ames. And is happening to more and more white Americans all the time as the growth of diversity proceeds. The cure for this disease, for this erosion of patriotism, is not difficult to find. It is obvious. It is simply to understand and assimilate our patriotism as it originally was. The cure for what is happening to America begins by returning to the natural race-based patriotism that our ancestors had when they halted the invading Moors at the Pyrenees nearly 1,300 years ago, and when, 1,000 years later, they defended their settlements in North America against marauding Indians. The enemies of our people have anticipated this possibility, of course. Just as Morris Deese and his Southern Poverty Law Center rail against the patriotism of the militias today, so have the Jews of the media and their collaborators been stigmatizing natural patriotism for the last 50 years. They call it racism, and they have intimidated most of our people into running for cover whenever they begin throwing out their accusations of racism. So while the cure for what has made white America sick is not difficult to find, it is a little harder to apply. It requires a little courage. It requires a little open-mindedness. It requires a little mental independence. It requires a little moral strength. It requires enough of us with these qualities to make patriotism a vital force in the life of our country again. I believe that we can find enough such people to do the job. It will not be easy, of course. The media bosses and all of the other people who hate the real America will fight us all the way. The politicians will collaborate with them. Bill Clinton and everyone else who was demonstrating for the Viet Cong during the Vietnam War will try to stop us. But I believe that ultimately we will prevail. I believe that natural patriotism will prevail over the phony loyalty to the New World Order that the Jews and the trendies are promoting. The only uncertainty I have is how long it will take us and how many must die in overcoming America's disease. Your help will make the victory come sooner and will make our casualties fewer. Thanks for being with me again today.